Mein Name ist Axel Grösbers and you listen to Talking Schmidt.
Just give it the old cars try, right?
Our big dog's in.
Schmitty, what do you think, Schmitty?
96 times Schmitty.
Talking Schmidt.
He's so fucking busy.
Shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Schmidt.
Let's hear it for Greg Smith. Yeah!
Okay. Hello. We are back, and I am in Huntington Beach, California, at the Van Skate Park. They're about to let the girls skate the new version of the combi, which is reverse the original one. And I am in the mobile studio here, kids. We got the only girl to ever do the loop. She's probably getting sick of hearing that. But she probably isn't, actually, because nobody can do it. That's insane. Anyway, here's Lizzie Armanto.
Thanks, Schmitty.
What's up?
Just going this whole week. Been going.
You just won the combi contest. Talk about the lead up to that. Food poisoning, jet lag. Like, what was the week prior?
I was in Europe like for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And then on Sunday, I got food poisoning from just like a grocery store sandwich. And that put me out.
Was that? Italy?
Yeah, I was in Milan.
Uh-huh.
The best place to eat ever. But don't suggest going to the grocery store and getting a sandwich.
Yeah.
I didn't wash my hands though. And I was like kind of like, oh, this is gross. But then I was like, I'm running it.
Right.
And then I got ruined. On Tuesday, I got back from Italy and was home for like one night. And then Wednesday morning, went to Salt Lake for a Tony Hawk and Friends demo. And then I was skating the vert ramp and I was like, oh, I feel crazy. This jet lag. And I was like, oh, it's also the altitude. The altitude's messing me up.
Oh, right.
And it was messing up the other dudes too. So
yeah, altitude's real.
So dealt with that. And then on Friday, I got it. Friday morning, I woke up early and then got into San Diego and then went home and then went to Combi and like practiced. I saw you there and I like skated for like 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then was like, well, I guess I'll see what tomorrow's like.
Yeah.
Because I'm like in my head the whole time, I'm like, it's going to hit me.
Yeah.
Like the jet lag, something. I'm just going to be exhausted. But then I could kind of skate. I don't know. I'm kind of confused on lines and stuff, but I don't know. On Saturday, I started skating, and I was like, I guess I'm doing this. And then something happened. I was shocked, actually. Like, when I skated qualifiers, and I, like, made two of my, like, qualifying runs.
Yeah.
That was, like, so uncharacteristic of my contest skating.
Right. I saw, well, I was there.
Lately.
I was there filming it, and your first run in the finals was the one that won the contest. And I was filming it from above, looking down, and you did something. You did, and I was like, because I had talked to you, and you kind of were like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just going to skate, whatever. Like, I'm having a hard time figuring out, like, what kind of lines, whatever. And as you're going, I was like, oh, she's on this one. And then you did the whole run, and it was sick. And I was like, damn, about three, I think there's four heats. So after the third heat, I'm like talking to Bucky Lassick. I'm like, hey, Bucky, who you think's got this? And he's like, I think Lizzie's got this. And then sure enough, boom, $28,000 later.
I did not expect any of that. And the last thing I was thinking about was like trying to like do everything and like, I don't know. I mean, that it was all going to work out.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
How crazy is that 10-year-old girl, Kokona?
She's awesome.
Oh, my God.
She has, like, the most insane control, like, board control.
Like, back nose grind every time.
Yeah. And then on her front one, she just sits on them, like, so sick.
Yeah.
She's definitely, like, the highlight of the contest.
10-year-old from somewhere in Japan. And if you haven't heard or seen her, look her up and you'll be blown away. I was on a plastic board probably on my knees at 10 years old. I was not looking at dropping in the combi, much less nose grinding it. That's amazing.
She does them so proper. And then she does the nose blunts too. And then she'll like wiggle them in. Like she doesn't have to be like perfect on them. She'll like
yeah.
just make it work.
Right. And then she kind of, for a 10-year-old, has a little power. Like the frontside air disaster is kind of like, whoa, that's kind of a power trick for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, she slaps them too. Yeah.
So it's really cool seeing her skate. Let's talk about like when you grew up, you were in Santa Monica, born and raised, or?
Yep. For the most part, Santa Monica is the place I've lived the longest. So when I was in like fifth grade, we moved there. And before that, I changed elementary schools like almost every year or every other year.
Where were you born?
I was born in Simi Valley.
Oh, okay. And so you were there for a year or two?
I don't even remember living in Simi Valley. Uh-huh. I think my first memories are in Van Nuys.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I started going to school there. And then the next year, my mom took a job up in Washington for a year. So I went to Washington State.
Whoa.
And then went back after that and moved to Woodland Hills. And after Woodland Hills, I moved to Glendale. And my parents bought a house. And I was, like, in this canyon, and I had my own room for the first time.
Uh-huh.
It was really cool.
Rad.
But then my parents got divorced, and then we moved to Santa Monica to be close to my mom's work.
Mm.
And
how old were you then?
Fifth grade. I was 11 or so.
11, yeah. How was that on you? Was that hard seeing your parents get divorced?
Yeah, I was really close to my dad, and then after they got divorced, he moved back to Finland, so...
Oh.
That was, like, a really tough for me. I struggled in middle school. Like, I had to take on a lot of responsibility. I, like, had to watch my brother because my mom was working full-time
uh-huh.
to, like, take care of us and, you know, keep us in Santa Monica in an apartment.
Is that right around the same time that you found skateboarding?
I found skateboarding later. So my parents got divorced in 2004 and we moved.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2007, I started skating. So for, like, middle school, I was just, like, still in arts and crafts and like yeah.
just so you watching started my brother. Skating when you were a teenager?
Yeah, I was like 14 years old.
14? And that was, you were in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to it?
My brother wanted to try it, and so my mom took us both to the park and signed us up.
Like, in rented skateboards, or did you already have them?
So we had skateboards that my dad bought us, and when we were in Glendale, we lived on a hill, so we'd buttboard down the hill, but neither of us had ever tried to stand up or, like, I don't know, like, actually skateboard or use it to get around. It was more like this thing that we had that was in the corner.
And then you went to the skate park and what, saw people like doing this kind of unusual thing at the time for you, and you were like drawn to it?
I mean, when my, it's like my brother, he's the one who's like, I want to skate, this is cool, or like whatever. He's the one that like had the initial draw. And then after going to the park, it was like fun just to like mess around and like compete against my brother, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, because both of us didn't know what we were doing, and I was like, okay, who's gonna like do whatever first,
right.
like go down this bank. And then after, I don't know, just that, it was like the skate park's a cool place to go when, I don't know, like the other options were
right,
like once you do your chores, you can go to the library or you can go to the skate park.
Yeah, take the skate park every time.
I used to do the like library knitting club though.
Knitting
club.
Oh,
there's like activities and like monthly events, so I'd always sign up for things.
What was your best knit job? You do a blanket or a...
I've only done scarves.
Scarf?
Which is like the like beginner level.
That's the first thing you do? Yeah. I think my mom tried to do gloves when I was younger, and she got really frustrated because it's really tech for gloves. So what was the first board that you got? Like a real board?
My first actual skateboard was an Element Tosh board.
Tosh Townen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I remember I was really hyped on it because the colors were like green, blue, and like yellowy. And there's like bunnies on it. It was this like mirrored image.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that one.
And I saw it at the skate shop and someone bought it. And so later on, I like found it online and had my mom buy it. And then I got blue grip for it. And then shortly after, I was like skating a karate class at the elementary school. And I fell, like, turning the corner, and then my board went in the street, and this car ran it over.
Oh.
And I was like crying because it was like my first real board.
Oh, how long did that last?
It was so short-lived. Whoa. It was brand new.
Whoa.
So you and got- it was a big deal. My mom spent like, you know, $100 to put that thing together, which back then it was
that
like.
That was a lot, yeah. Literally a rocky start.
Yeah.
Like when you got more comfortable in skating and started realizing like who people were and stuff, who were some of like your early influences or people that you'd be like, you know, that person is fucking rad or, you know, whatever?
I was mostly influenced by the people that come by the park. And at the time there was a really good scene because our park was like the biggest like transition park on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
In Los Angeles. And NoHo was like one of my favorite people to skate with.
Super style.
And then I remember like Steve Olson used to go by the Cove, and like
rad. He's
Bernie O'Dowd used to go skate. He still skates the Cove. And there's a bunch of local dudes, like all the SMA dudes.
Yeah. Like maybe Jesse Martinez?
I wouldn't see him so much. Like he was like a face that'd come like roll around every so often.
Uh-huh.
But like as far as people that like would come by the park like maybe weekly or every other week.
Like, those were the guys?
Yeah.
Okay. And then do you remember like what one of your first like tricks were on a skateboard that you're like, whoa?
When I first learned Smith grinds, I was like really shocked because I was like, I thought only good people could do this trick. I was like, I thought this was like really hard.
Yeah. Where and did you learn it?
I learned it in the small bowl, like kind of by the street course, street flow course.
Uh-huh.
And I did on the flat wall. Yeah, metal coping.
Okay, yeah. Rad.
The pool at that park is pretty hard to skate. They kind of messed up when they made it. The waterfall, like, or the shallow end is kind of sloped down. So it's like a double waterfall.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't know. It's a really good bowl, but I'm spoiled now that I'm in San Diego.
Yeah.
But I really started like getting into skating when I started skating Combi.
Oh, okay.
Like that's when I started learning tricks. Because before then I was like in Santa Monica, I would just like carve and I'd be like, I just like carving. Carving's my favorite trick.
Yeah. Your first backside air, it wasn't at the Combi, was it?
No, it was probably at the Cove. It took me a while to learn backside airs. That was a struggle.
What was your first air?
I want to say a frontside air.
Frontside air.
And I think I asked Alicia how to do it because I met her at this kid Shane O'Borland's 10th birthday party.
Rad. And
it was cool to watch Alicia because she was so good. And like, I sucked. She was eons better than me. And I was like asking her, like, how do you frontside air? And then she's like, you just kick, turn, grab, and jump. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, it's just that. And I started trying.
Is she, like, she's a year or two younger than you, or?
No, she's like 4 years younger than me.
Four, okay.
Yeah, she was, like, probably 11 or so when I met her.
And she was doing airs?
Yeah, no, she was good, and she's been good for, like, a really long time.
I know. Damn.
It's like Osiris days. She has, like, a Children of the Revolution part, and she's, like, riffing in that.
Oh, shit.
Or H Street.
So she was a heavy influence in the early days for sure, right? Actually, I met you through Alicia, I believe.
Did I meet you at, like, Huntington?
Huntington.
I've definitely seen you before, but I didn't meet you till later.
I feel like the first time that I really considered that we met, because I'd seen you around, but I kind of think it was at the Berkeley Vert Ramp. This one day where you and Alicia were going there, and then I came out. It was the first time that I like shot photos and filmed with you where we like kind of planned to do it. Like I had filmed you at Chili Bowl and stuff before, but that day was that day that I made that little video that's like doot 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 doot, and you guys were climbing up the stairs and it was like bye Felicia, bye Felicia. And it's you and Alicia skating. That was the first day I think that I filmed with you guys. I don't know.
My memory is fuzzy.
Yeah, mine too, definitely. So talk about the Chili Bowls. What was the first one that you went to? Did you go to any of the Crocker ones, or was Potrero the first one?
Potrero was the first one.
Uh-huh.
And, like, to this day, those are still my favorite contests that I've been to.
They are so cool.
Yeah, it was a mess. And I just remember going up there to that event. It was just very... I don't know, it was just so focused about the skating, and it was like really heavy. Like the sessions were really like gnarly. Yeah,
deathmatch style.
And the vibe there was like really cool because no one was doing it because like everyone just goes there because they love skating and they're just like kind of wanted to party and
right.
I don't know.
It was just a good times thing. It was like there was some prizes, but there was not like some big money purse or anything to draw people, but people still came.
Kind of like a respect thing. Like if you were at Chili Bowl and you did well, like it was kind of like whispered about.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Which one was the first one you went to? Do you remember the year?
I'd have to look it up, honestly.
Okay.
What was the last year? It was the year before the last year. Because I only went to two of them. Okay. And then it ended.
I don't know. Maybe 2013 or 14? I don't know. What's your fondness with Petrillo? You kind of have a big, like, you really love Petrillo Skate Park.
That's my like, I love the deep end there. It's just, like, that bowl's my favorite, the way it's made.
Uh-huh.
I think Dreamland, like, they do, their work's really cool.
Yeah.
The deep end, it's not big. It's 9 feet, which for a pool is on the smaller side with vert.
Uh-huh.
And that thing you can blast in, and it just, it feels really good. And it's like, you can go there with like a ton of speed and not kind of, not be afraid you're going to get ruined.
Yeah, I love it. I've been to that park more than any other park, but you don't really live near there. And it seems like you try to get yourself there as much as you can, which is really cool.
Yeah.
All right. How often do you get a boba tea?
Nowadays, if I'm home, I'll probably get it at least a couple times a week, uh-huh. Or maybe like twice. Axel's super into him now. I think he might like boba tea more than I do.
No way.
I've kind of beat a dead horse with boba tea. I love it still, and I'm like, I will not turn it down.
Yeah.
But I definitely know, like, I've totally gone crazy with them, and like, now I don't want to feel like, I don't know, like a psycho person. Because, like, now I have caffeine and I'm just like, and I, like, totally feel crazy.
I have to monitor mine, too. We call it, when you get a little too caffeinated, we call it going squirrel. Because there's this squirrel coffee that's, like, a little extra strong. And you just start, like, you're almost shaking. And so that's, like, when you're, like, blah, 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 you're, like, oh, no, you're going squirrel.
Yeah, that's totally me and caffeine.
We got a phone call.
Yes, this is Darren Navrette. I got a question for Lizzie. I know that she's often referred to as Medusa. So I was just wondering if there was any connection in her her love for Bulba. Is that as in Bulba Constrictor? Does that have anything to do with anything?
Yeah, it does actually. He's on to something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I am. When I was younger, my dad, he bought me a python. I actually had a ball python, but that's in the same family as, like, a boa. So.
Thanks for calling, Darren.
Yeah. Found me out.
How'd you get the nickname Medusa?
Darren, he, like...
Was it, like, when your hair was just, like, going wild or something? And remember we had that one photo where your hair was, like, going all kind of crazy?
I feel like Darren just, like, came up with it.
Mm.
There's like one session where it's just like Medusa.
And what's his one for Alicia?
Oh, Garbanzo.
Yeah, I love that. I love Darren's the best. All right, let's talk about the filming of this Thrasher video that you and I did.
Let's do it.
What were some of the highlights?
The highlights. I really enjoyed that session on my birthday when we skated the backyard ramp. I was living at Brighton's house.
Uh-huh.
And then I ended up we were just skating, and I remember I was wearing this Kazu hat.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, my friend who's a snowboarder. And
yeah.
Then I was trying the gap to back lip over the channel, and then on that day I made it, and then later that night we went and got Thai food at the best spot.
Oh, yeah. Thai one on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was that the same day we went to Encinitas Park, too?
Did we get a front feeble, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we saw Andy.
Yeah, Andy McDonald was there. You did front feeble. And because I remember that hat the whole day. I was just talking about that hat. I was like, what is that hat? It was like Kazu, was it?
Kazu.
Kazu, he's a famous snowboarder.
Yeah.
Japan. Yeah, and I was like, Kazu, come on, front feeble.
Yeah, that was such a good day.
Fuck yeah. The Thai one on is that's my favorite Thai food.
It's so good.
Every time I come down to Jorhobo's, he lives in Escondido, I try to make time to go. That's in Vista, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to go down 78 or 76, whatever it is. I really liked the day that, I think this is how it worked, but my memory is not perfect. I feel like you and I drove separately. We went to Chino Hills and met, and it was raining. And then somehow we skated the park, and you did the alley-oop 360 off the high part into the little thingamajig.
Yeah.
That was super cool. I remember when you did that, I was like, okay. Because we had a bunch of stuff, but that to me kind of seemed like, whoa, this is really rad now. And we did the little follow line. And then the other one was the Sacramento blunt slide where you fucking ate shit trying it. And I don't know if we went two or three times, but we definitely went more than once because the first time you slid out and I was like, that was one of the gnarliest slams I've ever seen you take. And then
I was sick on one of those days too. I was like, "What?" I was like, "We're just gonna go."
It was freezing in Sacramento, but we were pretty much on deadline. Like we knew we wanted the video part to come out like really soon. And then the next time we're like, "Okay, we're gonna do it. We're going. We're driving up there." I forget if Griffin was with us on that trip or not, but I'm pretty sure Griffin and Alicia maybe.
I'm not sure. I forget.
But anyway, we pull up at the spot. Whose house is that?
Catherine's.
Yeah, Catherine. And we are not even closing the door. We just got out of the car. We're not even closing the door. And all of a sudden you hear big, loud Jason Richardson, blunt slide! And I seriously didn't even want to grab my camera. I was just like, oh my God, we're fucking bumming right now. And then it actually worked out.
It did. I remember I called Grosso and I was like, I phone a friend. I was like, I need some advice. Cause it was such a mission. And I remember like, it was kind of like heavy, like in the car. Cause I was like, we're just going up to the ramp to just film this one trick. And you can kind of go into like a weird place in your head, like yeah. So easy. And then
a lot of pressure.
Like everyone that was there at the ramp that day, they all knew. Like it's like they just showed up to have popcorn and like watch me try blunt slides.
Yeah.
And it was kind of heavy because it was like it wasn't a regular session. It was like Lizzie's just gonna try blunt slides.
You can do it. Yeah. Try it again. Yeah. That's why I drove all the way up here. I am gonna try it again. Please just let me skate.
He's really sweet.
No, he is a good guy. So but he loud. Has that reputation as being that guy. So it's not. Nobody is surprised.
Yeah. I remember I was like, I have to make this so I can like make it stop. Because it's almost like the voice in my head gets overpowered by just hearing him yell. Like right. I can't focus anymore sometimes. No, like I don't know. But he's just stoked. And I know it wasn't like coming for from sure. a bad place. It was just like, oh my God, I need to make this before I freak out.
But that was pretty much the nail in the part. Like, that was, like, celebration. Whatever we do after this is just whipped cream because we got this, and that was so sick. Then, on the 24th hour, we're at the bird ramp, and it was, like, probably, like, getting close to midnight. And that was the last day. It was like, okay, we're going to just try this kickflip indie, and... if I make it, cool. If not, I'm filming another video part, so I'll get it hopefully eventually. And you put in so much work and like came so close, so many like feet on it to zoom out. And then I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Was that tough or did you kind of feel satisfied with, you knew you already had a bunch of stuff and you had a future project, so you kind of were like, okay, I got this? Or did... I mean, you put in 150%, so no one could say different on that.
I feel like you always want something to be, like, the ultimate best that it could be. Like, so it's hard to just, like, let go and just say I'm putting this out. But with video parts, like, I don't know. It was also my first video part, so I was like, okay, I have to, like, let this go and start focusing on the other one.
Yeah.
Because that was a heavy year because I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do two video parts, and I've never even done one.
Yeah.
And there, the overlap was like a lot. And I felt kind of bad about having my birdhouse part being like mixed. Mm. Like it ended up being enough to like call it my, like my part. But yeah. I felt like, I don't know, especially after the other one coming out, like it didn't top it, but I did feel like it held its own, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I felt bad because I wanted, I don't know, it's always cool when you can build off something, yeah, like even more.
But you can only do what you can do.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the part where it's like you kind of just have to like call it when it's time.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. No, I know. That was really an experience for me. Like to like, first of all, just getting to be with you that much and film your first part and watching how you handled yourself and all that stuff was amazing. Finishing it and actually finishing it, because like, who knows when you start something if you're going to finish it. And then getting to the point where you're like, no, we're going to finish this. It's coming together sick. And then putting it out and seeing the response, I was just like, fuck yeah, forever. No one can ever take this from me. Call me what you want, but this moment is a highlight for sure. And so I was super stoked on that. And then Jason and you put together the birdhouse part 8 months, or how we, soon we after
put,
was that?
We put out the thing in March, or the Thrasher video in March, and then in September, Saturdays came out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so it was like 6 months.
Yeah, which is like no time.
Yeah.
Even though I went on all the birdhouse trips, but it was really hard to film on the birdhouse trips because we'd be at street spots all day. And so it wasn't till towards the end we realized, it was like, okay, I'll wake up early and go to the park and like shoot my stuff and then just be in the van all day, like, yeah. I don't know, like cheering on the boys. And
yeah, that is tough. I know that's, and it's not a girl thing, it's kind of a transition skater thing. Like I know friends that are on the same boat where it's like, dude, I had to get up early before the street guys and go fucking to this ramp or this park, skate at like 8 a.m. and get my shit and then get back to the hotel. And a lot of times you're kind of skating by yourself.
Yeah.
Which is really difficult to do a lot of times when you need somebody to lift you up and be like, get you fired up.
I mean, luckily, like, I feel like Jason's really cool to film with, and he's like, he's so serious about what he does that, yeah, like, you kind of like put yourself in the same position, like, and try to match it. But then also, like, having Aaron on the team, like, he is like the biggest cheerleader that I know. Like,
shout out to Jaws.
Shout out.
He'll go skate, like, with every person on the team, he'll go skate with them if they're trying to film like a trick. No matter whether he like likes the spot or like actually wants to get a trick himself, like he'll just go skate with somebody to like make sure they're not like on their own.
He's the best. I love Aaron so much.
He said he'd do the loop, like the one day, yeah, we were skating. He's like, if you wanted me to do the loop and keep skating with you, I would have. But right, there was like a time where he's like, are you good to like just keep going on your own? And I was like, yeah, I got this. And then he was just up on the rolling with me the whole time, which was so awesome. Like, the support from that, I was, like, so blown away by.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the loop. So you're the first girl to ever do the loop. Tony has a loop, or he rents?
He has it.
He has it, and he just pulls it out into the drive or the parking lot?
Yeah, so for Boom Boom Huck Jam, that's what it was set up for.
Okay.
And they used to do that every night.
Really?
Yeah, at every show. Like, whoa, that was a part of the show that, like, couple dudes would just go do the loop.
Okay.
And Tony had asked me before about doing the loop. I was always kind of like, I'll let you know when I see it, but don't bring it out for me. Like, I'm not that down. I'm, yeah, down to go look at it and then decide.
Right.
And he was like telling me, like, you know, the people that do the loop are like, they know, like they have this thing. And I was like, I don't know, and I don't have that thing. But when he like made the date, I was like, okay, I'll go. And I like skated the practice the day before, and I was like, okay, I just have to like go up there and try it once and like just go into the pads. It's like a roll into like 6 foot like feet of pads, you know. And that's scary because you like people eat shit just trying it going into the pads.
Yeah.
And once I did that, I was like, okay, I can kind of get used to that. Like, kept kind of just trying but wasn't sticking to the wall. The next day, same thing happened, and then they had the VR event.
What's the VR?
So virtual reality was like, they had a bunch of cameras and they were filming it. And there was like Tony and Corbin announcing, there was a crowd. There was like 20 people trying to skate it at, like, you know, in line.
Oh, man.
Like it was, there was every distraction.
Yeah.
There. I don't know, that you could think of. Like, it was just pretty, it was a crazy scene. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to figure out how to do this, like, gnarly thing. But two of the dudes, like, they learned how, they, like, did it. Riley slammed. He almost had it, though. Sean Hale slammed. He almost had it as well. Basically, the dudes that were ready to go, like, everyone else, like, had to just stop trying because they were going to start taking away pads.
Uh-huh.
And then they made it. The event was, like, done and kind of people, like, dispersed. And then it was probably like 45 minutes later, I was like, okay, like, are we skating it? Like, is it cool? Did I go? And then the people that like set it up were like, they're ready to take it down.
Uh-huh.
And then Tony like told them, I wasn't there for this, but Tony was like, Lizzie's skating the loop. Like, I don't care if like the paramedics have to go or not. Like, she's skating it.
Wow. So you kind of skated it by yourself?
No, there was a couple dudes that were like trying, like, Chris Reeves was there. I think Alec Beck was like trying to skate it again, and like a handful of people.
What was the first attempt? Like pads, right?
Yeah. So I've been just going into the pads, and I was like freaked out about that too.
Like, how high up, like, would you get on the, are you up at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, upside down?
Yeah, probably like
past
like 9 or 10.
Okay, so you'd go up and then
like
kind of
10 or 11, 10 or 11, and then just like kind of go back off into like flip.
And then after a few, you actually just go kind of around into the pads?
No, it wasn't until, like, Sean Hale was like, you really don't do anything. Like, you don't pump at all. And I was like, not even to get into it? Like, you don't, like, pump and then hold?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, no, you do nothing. And so I was like, okay, I'll try it. And then I, like, just held my leg. Like, I just locked my legs, basically, like, in the standing position on the skateboard. And I stuck to the wall, and I was like, oh, my God. Fuck. Like, that was the scariest point. Then I was like, okay, I have a shot at this. Am I gonna do it, or I should just stop now?
Right.
Because if I'm not gonna do any, like, there's no point in keeping going.
Uh-huh.
And so then it's like, we're doing this, it's happening. And then I would do it a couple times, like, in until I was like all the way into the pads, like rolling as far as I could.
Yeah.
And then we'd take a pad down, and then basically like calculated, like, worked my way down until I was doing the loop, and then I was like rolling into a pad all the way around.
So, like, probably would have done that if the pad wasn't there, feeling confident, okay, let's get the pad out of there, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. And then at that point I was like, okay, the pad's out. And then Aaron's like up on the roll, and he's just like, this is same as before. And I was like, same as before. And then I just like went, and then that one I like knee slid at 12 o'clock, the first one.
Whoa.
And I was like, fine. So I was like, okay. I didn't know I knee slid. I just bailed. And I was like, oh my God, okay. I'm fine. I'm getting back up there.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, just run back up there and get ready to go again. So there's like no time to think. Like, I was just like so far down in tunnel vision.
Okay.
And then did it again. And then I think I made that one.
The second one.
I made it. And like 5 feet after the loop, I leaned back and I like fell off my board.
Uh-huh.
And everyone ran over to me and was like, oh my God, Lizzie, you did it. And I was like, kinda. Like,
that doesn't
I'm here,
count.
But I'm like, I'm not on the other side of the parking lot. So
yeah.
I don't know. And then they're like, oh, you're gonna keep going? I was like, yeah. I need to do it for real. And then everyone's like, go. And I'm like running to the thing. And then I start like, go again. And I like lean forward and I lean back. Like, you still fall hard when you do that.
Yeah.
Like, I pinched one of the times. After that, I like, on the sixth try or so, I like made it, and I was like across the parking lot, and I was just like, my mind just like blank. Like, I was like, oh my God, it's done. I like look back and I finally like look at the thing and I'm like, it's over. Like, I did it.
So sick. How many people were there about watching? Like,
not
20
maybe, I think. I was so in another world.
Okay.
I remember.
But the story goes that
Most
of the people left, so it actually didn't get filmed by one real camera, right? It was just only iPhone footage.
Yeah, so that day it was like a VR event. And
right.
Then No one else was just like filming. I don't even like calling people up to go film because that means I'm going to do something. Like that's yeah, like,
I get it.
You know, it's in your head. And so when this was happening, it was just like, no one wanted to leave. My friend told me, he's like, I thought about getting a camera, but you were like about to do it. And if I missed it, I
didn't even miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's a tough place to be in. And it's not like, hey, can you wait 35 minutes? Like, you're, like, ready to do it. Like, there's no, like, time out, I gotta go get my camera.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be that person to, like, mess up your flow.
Uh-huh.
Especially on that. I knew going into it, it was like, I'm either gonna make this, otherwise I'm gonna slam, and I don't know if I'll, like, be able to try it again.
And have you seen some of the hellacious slams that have, like Brian Schaefer, like, people getting carried out on gurneys from trying it before, like really good skateboarders?
I purposely didn't look at all those videos because I knew that if I had that in my head, that would freak me out. Like when I was skating it, I was thinking like there's only one way.
Yeah.
The only thing that can happen is that you're gonna make it. Like I tried to like rule out every other possibility.
Yeah. Wow, that's so big. And when you're doing something like that and even other things in your skateboarding career, is any of it driven by being the first girl, or is it just you want to do it?
It's not, I don't know. Look, there's no, like, real reward in being the first girl.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's almost like people outside of skateboarding see it as, like, a huge thing. But I think in skating, it's like people have done it before, and I feel like that's made it so much easier for me to try things.
Right, because it is, you know it can be done.
Yeah, and so I don't know, like when I talk to other women and like girls, it's like, yeah, it's totally different. And like you feel different about things, but I don't know. I feel like the people that I want to impress or like look up to, or like the people that I hold high, like whether I'm a boy or a girl, like I just want them to respect me as a person. And
yeah,
that's my motivation.
That's funny. That's how it works for me too. It's like, I don't really care what the mass think. I care about what my peers think. Like, what, like a Peter Hewitt calling me and saying, dude, I saw that video, it was rad, is better than a million views to me. You know, it's like my peer like taking time to say, dude, that shit was rad, is like, ooh, cool, I'm doing something.
Yeah,
right.
Like your day's made.
It's
like
validated.
When you get, yeah, like a million views is never gonna like,
yeah, who
kind of give you a smile all day.
Who are these robots that are just click click click? You've got the privilege to travel and be a part of Tony Hawk's world. What's like one of the best like Tony Hawk treatment trips you've been on? Like what's one of the raddest spots and like kind of living above normal, you know, getting the 5-star Birdman treatment?
I feel like the coolest trip was when we were with the whole team in Europe, which was the first real like trip with the team that I was on. It was just crazy because, you know, we're with the whole team and then we're staying at like nice hotels. Like the craziest place I ever stayed was on that trip in Bath, like England.
Uh-huh.
And we stayed in this like hotel that was over like a grand a night. Whoa. And then there's like our crew rolling in looking like we just came off the street. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. We were like grubby and stuff. And I'm sure the people that were working there were like, these people are like, I don't know if they're,
right.
They know that this is not their
feeling.
Place.
You get to just smile even bigger. Like, yes, it is my place. Sorry about you. What is it like traveling with the boys? Like, do you get your own room? Do you have to share with them on normal trips? Like non-Tony trips?
Yeah, I get my own room.
You get
except
your own.
There was like one time we were like traveling and then we were booked at like this hotel that the reception wasn't open, and then the hotel was just like in the sketchiest place that so we were like, we're skipping this. And then we like ended up like getting half the amount of rooms where as before as that hotel.
Yeah.
And so we were all crammed.
Did it take a while to acclimate to traveling with those guys, like being in the van and just stinky and just probably different type of conversations happening around you? And
I mean, the Europe trip was the first trip and that was like 2 weeks.
Oh.
So by the end of that trip, I was like I felt close to everyone. Like I could travel with them.
Yeah.
And then all the other trips, like it was just like the band was back together. And when Tony's on the team trips, it's so cool. Like I feel like everyone is so pumped. it's kind of, like, I feel like we're like the Justice League, like, you know, and everyone assembles, so it's like we're a superpower.
How sick. That's a good way to put that. Yeah, because Tony is so, Tony is obviously really respected in the skateboard community, but he's recognized worldwide. Like, even if you're not really in touch with skateboarding, you probably know who Tony Hawk is.
Yeah.
You know, so like, that must be really cool. Talk about the Thrasher cover, because I didn't get to be at that one. But there was a surprise.
How come you weren't there? I never got to know.
I don't really remember. I almost feel like it happened like super quick. I think that Mike was shooting an interview with you, and he went out and shot a bunch of photos within like 1 week. And it was kind of the same week the mag was coming out. Like, they were putting it together on the fly almost. Yeah. And then he got that shot and he was like, cover. And then it went out to press and they got an advanced copy. It just all happened really quick. And I think that I was maybe on a trip or something. I don't know. That was weird. Yeah, I was bummed. Like, actually, yeah, you know what? I think I was at Vancouver. I might have been at the Vancouver Vans Park series or something. I don't remember exactly. But I remember I was doing something. I was like watching it on Instagram, kind of just like, damn. That'd have been fun to be at. But how'd it go down? It was like
it was on a Wednesday, so it was like totally like weekday, only like certain people made it.
Yeah.
And it was definitely last minute.
And they pretended that it was like a van shoot or something?
No, it was like supposed to be Tony's intro part.
Tony Hawk.
For the Saturday's video.
Oh, right.
And so I was like, okay, cool, sure. I was hurt. Like, I slammed the week before. Maybe it was like 2 days before. I went to Rusty's and I did an invert, and then I like locked my arm, and then I flung myself to flat, like head first, or like to the bottom. I like barely landed on transition.
Whoa.
And I was like I'm beat. And then they had this thing going on, and I was like, okay, I'll show up. And then in my head I'm like, oh, they're probably gonna, like, if the whole team's going, like, I don't know, like, if everyone's gonna be on time, I'll just kind of show up whenever.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to skate. And I got there, and then I was like, fuck, I gotta do something.
Right.
So I started skating. And I slammed like the first run, and I slammed like the run after that. I slammed like three times.
Oh.
Maybe two. I was basically like, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm calling it. I'm going to go like take a seat. And I went to go get ice, and then someone was like, oh, no, just sit down. I'll go grab it. And I was like, okay. And then I just sat at the bottom of like the ramp with Tony's wife. And then like a couple minutes later, Jeff like falls. And then Tony's all like, are you okay? Everyone's like, are you okay, Jeff? And I was like, no, he doesn't like want to hear that. Like, you know how when someone falls, sometimes you just gotta let him be. And it's like, Jeff, it's like, he needs his time.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, ooh, people shouldn't be saying that. And then he comes over and like gives me the mag, and I'm just like, is this photoshopped? Like, is this real? After like a minute later, it's like Tony's coming around with the board, and I'm just like,
oh.
My mom's showing up like from behind me.
Right, that was your pro board also.
Yeah, it
right.
was just like total ambush.
So sick. Yeah, I have your board on my wall. That's
the
octopus graphic with like almost
a teacup.
A teacup, yeah, exactly.
It's like octopus.
So cool. Jeff's been a really big influence. Like, he's helped kind of give you a lot of advice on this journey and stuff, right?
Yeah, he's like, if I ever am like trying to figure out like a thing or like what's more important or I just need advice, like,
yeah,
he's been really cool to just like be a soundboard.
Uh-huh.
And he's like been through a lot of this stuff, and it's cool to hear his.
So what was his advice on the Olympics?
On the Olympics?
Yeah, I know that was really hard choice for you to figure this whole thing out, right?
Yeah, I was struggling to figure out if I was going to go for the U.S. or Finland.
Right.
Because I have that option.
And yeah.
I remember before telling him my what I was like thinking about and the reasons, he's like thinking like, just go for U.S. Go for U.S. And then once I told him everything, like how I saw things,
uh-huh,
he was like, no matter what you pick, you'll be good.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, go Finland.
Cool. And how's that? What's going on with that? Did you have to go to Finland and like meet some people there? And like, is there uniform discussions? Like, how far along is that? Or is it not even there yet?
It's not there yet with like uniforms and stuff. But I've met the people at the Finnish Olympic Committee, and everyone's super supportive, and just the amount of conversations and like excitement that I've already like kind of been welcomed has been amazing.
Right. Well, it's gonna be a crazy, interesting time in skateboarding. Like, first Olympics for skateboarding. There's drug testing going on at some of these contests already. I heard some people might be suspended already before it's even started. Like, there's definitely a lot of drama involved, like good or bad. There's definitely opinions. People definitely have their opinions on it. I think it's going to be like, if somebody was like going to fly me out to film it, I'm down. Like, that would be, I think it'd be really cool to be a part of it, to check it out and then decide, you know?
Yeah.
Like, get the first one under your belt and say, that was a shit show, or like, no, this is cool, you know? But we can't know until we do it. We don't know what we don't know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are just like, have opinions because they're afraid.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to imagine it being not good, or yeah, like, it totally could be a mess. But no, I feel like the more skateboarders are involved and like continue to like hold on to skateboarding and say like, we define what skateboarding is,
right,
like the brighter like future for skateboarding there will be. And like, then like, it's important like the next generations like, you know, realize its history and like,
yeah,
appreciate, like, you know, just give respect.
Sure.
Which is like what the Olympics is going to do. It's going to open skateboarding up to the world. And I think we're going to see, I'm excited because I feel like the next generation is going to be so different, and maybe there will be like crazy, like new, like awesome people to watch skate.
Yeah. I mean, it's already like, I've been filming, like I said, I've been filming the girls, Fans Park series and the combi contest for at least 5 years now or something. And definitely from the time I started till now, like, I'm seeing like crazy progression, you know? Like, it used to be you and a handful of other people, and then a bunch of people that could barely scratch grind, and it'd be like, what are those people doing in the same contest? It's like, there's nobody else good. And now it's like, a lot of people are good.
Yeah. And the AM divisions are heated.
Yeah.
Like the little, there's like AM girls throwing fives. Like,
right,
legit.
That,
like,
Ruby girl.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? Another, I think she's 10 or 11 or 9 or something. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what kind of acai they're eating down here, but it is good, I think. So who are your sponsors? Give us some shout outs to some of the people that have been, like, your friends, your family, your sponsors, anybody that you want to recognize.
My mom and my stepdad, they've been awesome. My family's been super supportive of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, of course, can't name them all, but like Jeff, Alicia, Griffin, Schmitty.
What about the Lizzie Crusher?
Yeah, Axel. He's like the number one. He's a given.
Can we say his last name?
Axel Kreisbergs.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Because I can't do it. I'm like, I always get it wrong.
If you hear it like from him and his Flemish accent, he'll be able to say it good. And he's like, Axel Kreisbergs. Like,
Axel's from what country?
He's from Belgium.
Belgium. And you've been back there and met his family and everything, right?
Yeah, I've been a bunch in the past 2 years.
Rad. You guys met in Copenhagen?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was, how long ago was that now? 3 years?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And Axel's like the most beautiful man alive for his age group, great skateboarder, and probably one of the nicest guys. So it's like the total package.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's like, he's so amped, and he can skate everything.
Yeah.
And he's like really supportive of like all the stuff I have going. And there's times where, like, I don't know, like, he keeps up with me, and I don't know, I definitely applaud him on like being patient with me. And our schedules are like totally opposite, and we have different sponsors, and like,
mm-hmm,
you know, I'm going one way and then he's going the other,
right?
And like, he's filming a video part two, and like, you go, it's cool to watch his process. Like, I feel like I've learned so much from like just being around him and like seeing like how he like does his walk,
right? Oh, cool. Has he helped influence Street Lizzie at all?
Yeah, I feel like now the types of parks we go to, it's like there's something for both of us, whereas before I just wanted to skate the biggest, gnarliest bowl.
Uh-huh.
And like now we'll go do like session on the street and then session the bowl. And now I'm like, let's skate street first. And he's like, no, let's skate the bowl first.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love your guys' dynamic. Like he would come to the vert ramp at Tony's when we were filming you and super supportive, and then go to the parks and skate with you. Like, and I didn't really know he could skate transitions. And then I got to talk to him about like his whole growing up and stuff. And like he's skating everything and it's really sick to watch.
Yeah, like there's no like switch. It's just like skateboarding.
Right.
Like it's crazy to like see, because in my head it's like there's all these genres of skateboarding. But I feel like he's just so talented that it's just like he just amped. Like if he sees good skateboarding, he's hyped.
Right.
Not that I'm not hyped when I see good skateboarding, but like he can just do it, I feel like.
Well, I know that one of my most viewed Instagram posts, at least that I've paid attention to, was when you, me, and Alicia were in Sacramento and we went to this, or no, it was Napa, and we went to this shitty skate park that had like a, it's the old Napa skate park for any of you that have been out there, like Billy Pepper used to skate. And there's this small little flat bar, and you and Alicia were ollie 50-50 in it, and I filmed it and I put it on Instagram, and people loved it. Like it was like, I don't get as many views as most people, but on that one I was like, I'm up with the big dogs. Like I got so many views, and I don't know, I think it's cool, like when you did the rock and roll in your part at that wall in Sacramento where you get towed in, and the like people love to see, like they love to see your stale fishes obviously and your inverts and everything. It's the same with Jason Jesse, like when he like does a slappy, people get hyped because they're like, we love watching you skate vert, you're great at it, but when you do something outside your comfort zone you still bring that style to it, and it's really cool to watch. So something to think about. I don't know, I always dream of you and Axel having a doubles part for Thrasher.
In my head, I've thought about doing a doubles part, thought about the idea, and I'm kind of afraid. I feel like maybe like our relationship would like be on the rocks after like we're both in filming mode and we're like, the part has to be good, or like
that's
trying
a good
to put
point.
The pressure on each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe we'll see.
Well, they're about to start this event. They actually are opening the gates at the Huntington Beach Skate Park, where, yeah, they've made a reverse replica of the combi. They are opening it for one first session for females only. Vans is kind of killing it in that regards, right? Like, they have, like, the girls' contest. They're really supportive of girls.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know, even one of the things, like, last year they did the equal prize purse, and they kept it up this year, and I don't know, they never bragged about it, but then, as we just saw, like, the surfing people, like, they just, like, did a whole campaign on it.
No way.
I don't know, Vans has definitely been, like, a leader.
Yeah.
And they've, like, the combi contest has been around forever, like, they gave the girls their own event in 2010.
Right.
And ever since, they've been adding more, like, women's events, and like I got, like they support me, and now they're expanding to like more girls, and they're definitely leading the way, in my opinion.
Yeah, hopefully other people are gonna see it and do similar actions.
Yeah.
One last question for you: do you think the 540 is in your future?
Could be my future.
Is it important to you?
Yeah, I want to start trying fives. It's also one of those tricks that hangs over my head. I've had anxiety dreams about them, that I was making them. And I was like upset because I'm like, I'm lying to myself. Like I woke up like sweating, like about to be in a panic attack.
Wow. How cool. Okay. Well, let's go in the park and check out this combi, and maybe I'll do a little gardening tutorial with you.
Yeah, we'll do. I'm doing a gardening workshop today, so.
What's the name of this project that's coming out, actually, for Vans?
We're releasing the Vanguard campaign, and this is, like, an event that's going along with it. And there's going to be events all over, and they're still doing, like, girls' clinics, like, skate lessons type things for, like, anyone who wants to, like, have a hand at skating.
Well, awesome. I know this wasn't your first podcast, and I know it won't be your last interview, but I really appreciate you taking the time out and catching up. It's always good to see you.
Thanks, Schmitty. I appreciate it.
All right. Tune back in next week. And if you like what you hear, hit subscribe. And I don't ask for any money or anything. If you want to send me some, I'm not going to refuse it. But what I would ask is if you can go to the iTunes thing and hit the review 5-star, it helps me a lot. Big love to everybody, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please subscribe now on Anchor, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like this show, one of the best ways to show some love is to write up a review. I always appreciate to hear your thoughts, and detailed reviews are the best way for people to discover us. Also, a big shout out to our executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it.